Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
The Grizzlies not doing us here on Locked On Grizzlies any favors with these late night performances. Good Lord. Another rough one to talk about. We'll do that. We'll answer some of your questions. A little impromptu post-game mailbag broke out. You guys had some great stuff. We'll talk about all of that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies, whether you like it or not.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome aboard. I'm Peter Edmiston. This is your post-game Locked On Grizzlies and another loss in Staples Center. Grizzlies lost to the Lakers two nights ago. Last night, and it was the Clippers and a depleted Clippers team at that, missing both Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Didn't matter because Austin Rivers turned into friggin' Magic Johnson, and the Grizzlies just, oof, boy, the second half was brutal. Brutal defensively. I mean, let's just get right down to it. The Grizzlies lost to a backcourt of J.J. Redick. Okay, no shame there. Redick is a very good player. Austin Rivers, who had 28 points, and Raymond Felton, and Austin Rivers and Raymond Felton backcourt at one point was destroying the Grizzlies in pick and roll. What do you say? What do you say to that? What do you say to that? You know, Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, scoring 22. That's understandable. That happens. That happens to everybody. Austin Rivers scoring 28 doesn't. On 10 of 16 shooting. 10 of 16 shooting for Austin Rivers. I mean, the third quarter was Austin Rivers, like, that's a resume tape he's going to send around the league. He played 44 minutes. He was killing the Grizzlies. Killing the Grizzlies. It's insane. It's insane to see. And, you know, Mike Conley, horrible performance last night. I mean, horrible. There's no way to sugarcoat that, and so I won't. You know, I like Mike a lot. I wish Mike all the best. He's a terrific dude, but he played horribly last night down the stretch. Yeah, the foul was just crazy, and I don't know that he got Austin Rivers in that 3-point shot late in the game, but he fouled him before the shot, and it should never have come to that. It was 0.3 seconds left on the shot clock. This is the ultimate bailout. And late in the game situation when the Clippers, it was still a one-possession game at that point. It just a crazy decision. Then he turns the ball over basically on the next series, and that's pretty much that. He struggled to stay in front of guys all night defensively, but don't think that it's just Mike Conley. Because I really think, you know, the biggest issue to me was Marc Gasol. You know, Marc Gasol has got to be better than he's been in these last two ball games. You know, he was a team worst minus 18 tonight, and that's a big time. I mean, no one else is really close to that. Second worst was Tony Allen at minus 11, and Tony at least had those stretches where his effort, offensive rebounding, getting after it, you could see he had that block shot. He did some things that gave you a little energy, a little excitement. Mark didn't do any of that stuff. Jarrell Martin was a minus 10 in his 12 minutes of action, and he was picking up fouls left and right. But Mark just didn't give you much of anything on the defensive end at all. And as he goes, so goes the defense. On offense, he was his normal self. No problem. Hit a couple threes, hit some jump shots, passed, made a couple of really nice passes. It was normal stuff from Mark, but defensively, he provided nothing in the way of rim protection. And Mark is never going to be a big shot blocker. He's not DeAndre Jordan. He's not going to get out there and, send a shot to the 15th row. but he typically has a much better ability to guide and orchestrate the pick and roll sets to be able to move. And instead, he was giving up layup after layup and, you know, backing off guys. He finally made a little bit of an adjustment late in the first half on the Austin Rivers pick and roll stuff that was a little bit, it worked okay. It was pretty effective for a time, but then second half they went right back to it. Zach Randolph backpedaling like crazy, Mark backpedaling like crazy, you know, getting caught up, being too aggressive, then not being aggressive enough. I mean, they were just all over the place. They weren't, to use David Fizdale's word, they weren't connected. They weren't connecting, and you know, the Clippers made them pay. And I think Mike and Mark deserve the brunt of the criticism. You know, no Chandler Parsons tonight because he was resting due to his the maintenance plan that he's on. And God knows he needs a maintenance plan because he lives a tough lifestyle, man. He's out there partying, doing his thing, getting 15 minutes a game, you know, displaying, you know, little progress. That's part of that whole maintenance thing that's going on. That was a planned day. And people are giving Parsons a hard time yesterday all over social media for the stuff with Kendall Jenner and all the things that go along with being Chandler Parsons. I hate to tell you guys, you're giving my man 3 days in Los Angeles, the most Hollywood dude in the NBA, and you're putting him right there in Hollywood for 72 hours. What did you think was going to happen? Did you think TMZ wasn't going to get involved? Come on. So, that's what, when you sign Chandler Parsons, you sign all of that in addition to what appears to be a broken down basketball player at this point. So he didn't play. Jermichael Green, who it was thought did not have a broken bone in his face, turns out that he does. He's got a broken maxilla bone, which, that's not good. You want to keep your maxilla together. It's one of my credos I live by. Keep my maxilla together. So Jermichael couldn't do that. He missed the game, and his presence was very much missed defensively. Yeah, I think his, you know, you are seeing the value of a guy like that. It's best seen sometimes in his absence, and when he wasn't there, and he would have played a lot because the lineups really suited a guy like him that was so versatile, that could have gone out and defended. There were some really small lineups that the Clippers rolled out there, four guards and DeAndre Jordan. The Grizzlies tried to respond with four guards and Zebo sometimes. Yeah, I think Jermichael would have played, as long as he didn't foul himself out of the game, he would have played quite a few minutes. So I think that was a very big loss for the Grizzlies in the ballgame tonight. But they had a stretch where they really played great offensive basketball. Second quarter was terrific. They ran great stuff. I mean, I got to go back and rewatch because the stuff that they ran was terrific. It was little tweaks that they would run off of some of their normal sets, usually out of that horns look, two bigs, the elbows, two wings right there in the corner spots, and they run that all the time. They'll run, you know, and they'll run that little curl with, you know, one of the wings. They'll have the point guard pass it off and then start the action, set the down screen, and then all those little things that they would do. But then they would run little tweaks off of those and some things that we haven't ordinarily seen, and it worked great. I mean, they got nothing but good looks in that, multiple sets, multiple actions. Really, it was very encouraging at the end of that second quarter, and the Grizzlies put up 63 points in the first half, and you think, everything's cool, you're good to go. And they score 43 in the second half, get totally bogged down. Part of it, unfortunately, was just from a personnel standpoint. You know, you saw the limitations of what you can do with Vince Carter, who played a ton of minutes tonight, and I thought played very well. He acquitted himself, to me, very well. You saw a few of his limitations physically, but he had a couple block shots. I mean, he blocked two, most space twice. Crazy. James Ennis, you know, gave you some good minutes. But they never could quite get that lineup that they like, that five-man group together for all that long. And when Jarrell Martin, for example, you know, comes in Well, he starts. They started poorly, or just kind of okay, I guess. And then in the second half, they definitely started poorly, and that's Jarrell. And Jarrell is, he to me, I don't know what he's really given you right now other than fouls. And I think working him in caused the Grizzlies some problems. Then I don't really understand the minutes for Troy Daniels. You know, he fouled himself out of this game. But, you know, he goes 3 of 13 from the field, 3 of 11 from 3. He clearly did not have it tonight. And yet he played quite a few minutes, whereas last night when he comes out and he hits his first two in 5 minutes, then he's yanked and he's not back out on the court until, you know, much later on in the game. You know, this was a similar sort of game where defense really wasn't the big factor on either side. I don't know why he's out there tonight when he didn't, or last night when he didn't really play particularly well. He wasn't shooting the ball very well, and that's really his thing. He's a shooting specialist. And so if he's not making a shot, you know, he's not a defensive guy at all. You know, he's a liability on defense. He's got to be able to make his shot if you're going to really use him and have him be effective. And yet he played 24 minutes. You know, whereas the night before he plays 18, but probably, I don't know, 10 of those came in a fourth quarter that was mostly academic. It was just a weird decision, a weird process. I didn't really understand it. I must say I still don't understand it, but it's the way it goes. The Grizzlies, you know, working some of these guys in, you know, the night before with Chandler Parsons getting his customary 15 minutes, you know, Jarrell Martin tonight kind of taking that role of the honorary starter. There's a lot of that going on right now for the Grizzlies. There's an honorary starter that seems to be sneaking his way into the mix. And that can totally throw your whole rhythm off. Hard to get into a rhythm and stay there. And I think that's been some of the issue for the Grizzlies defensively. I think scheme-wise, I'll tell you what. We'll forget this whole segment here, the recap of the game. I've talked enough about it. There were problems, lots of problems. You know, for those of you, and I had some comments from my friends over at Three Shades of Blue who were worried about body language. I don't like to get too caught up in body language because I think it can be pretty deceptive. Sometimes some stuff that you think means one thing doesn't. But I will say energy is something I can get behind. And energy was in short supply again. And it's particularly worrisome that it comes after a loss like the Laker game and the Grizzlies, you know, facing a wounded opponent in the Clippers. All the motivation in the world, knowing that you face the Warriors to close out this road trip, and then the Jazz when you come back, and, you know, the schedule continues to be really, really tough. This is a game you just had to win. You felt like you had to win just to get yourself a little momentum, to keep things going, to get yourself going in the right direction, and to have the energy fade so badly. I'll get with. I can get with that. I can get with that criticism. I can't get so much with body language, but because Marc Gasol tends to have bad body language most of the time. You know, even when things are going pretty well, his body language isn't always that great. But I can get with the energy thing, and I do think that was a problem. All right, now we're gonna take just a tiny little break here, and then I'm gonna get to some of your questions and comments on the post game because you guys really filled up my mentions with a lot of great stuff. So we're gonna get to as much of it as we can after this. Some folks are freaking out, and I think I can understand some frustration about these two losses for sure. I can understand being very pissed off because, yeah, the effort level, especially if you're staying up late to watch or to record a damn podcast, the effort level hasn't been very good, and there's no reward there for that. That's really disappointing and frustrating for sure. It doesn't, to me, change a whole lot about the season unless the response to this continues to be really poor, then you might have a problem. Right now, there are explanations for all this stuff. Mike Conley may not be healthy. Marc Gasol is starting to potentially wear down because of that foot, and because, you know, he's really exerted himself quite a bit, and so that may cause him to not be as effective defensively. Working guys in and out of the lineup, you know, those are all plausible explanations for this stuff. So it's not anything that you need to, in my mind at least, to go crazy and start, you know, cussing people out and, you know, jumping off bridges and stuff. Not yet. But that said, there are definitely things that need to be hammered out and discussed and talked about and, you know, hashed out. And I think, you know, one of the comments that I thought was very interesting off of this, and that after I kind of put out there that I want to see what you guys thought and what you guys want to talk about in this whole thing. And I'm trying to find it here as I scroll through my mentions, because I want to give credit to who sent it to me. Okay, I got it. It is DB, just DB. He is at OkieTech623. He says, do you think the team's effort issues should start falling on coach? He has culpability in this too. Anything else he can do? I think it all kind of comes back to the players ultimately in the NBA, but the coach definitely in this case, because of what he has asked, because of the changes that he's made to the lineup, because of the changes that he's made to the defensive scheme, the pick and rolls, those coverages, then yeah, some of it does fall on him to get this right, to get the execution where it needs to be. Absolutely. You know, the players deserve their fair share of responsibility for this, but so too does David Fizdale. He's going to have to make some lineup adjustments. Again, you go back to the Troy Daniels thing. I didn't really understand it. To go back to some of the lineups that he rolls out there to start Jarrell, you know, there's just a lot of these, you know, lineups that haven't worked. He's a rookie head coach, and he's going to make mistakes. He's made a few. He has tended to correct himself pretty quickly on these mistakes. So I don't know that it's going to take too many more of these games to get this kind of hammered out. You know how good the Grizzlies can be. But I will say, you know, you have to put some of it on Fizdale. But to me, so much of what they do defensively is effort-based that it really falls back on the players and especially the leaders, you know, Marc Gasol in particular, to make sure that effort is where it needs to be. I hope that answers the question to some extent. Some of the other questions. Johnny No Bunts at John4MSU says, why don't the Grizzlies have a capable backup point guard? Well, this was talked about at the beginning of the season. They have two rookies, you know, Andrew Harrison, Wade Baldwin. To try to develop them is a sacrifice because you are sacrificing consistency at that point guard position, you know, in the backup role especially. And you see what Tony Douglas was able to do. Once he got a couple games under his belt, he was, you know, far and away better than either one of those guys. But they don't have a capable backup because right now they value developing those guys over having a veteran stable hand that can come in and handle that stuff. Now, will that change if their playoff status starts to get into jeopardy? Maybe. But right now, they're still miles ahead of anybody that's out there playoff-wise. The gap between 7 and 8 is huge, so no worries there as of yet. They'd really have to just suck incredibly for a really long time to put their playoff spot in jeopardy. And maybe, you know, going through this stretch of games where you're playing some good games, if you lose them all, then okay, maybe you start to panic a little bit. But I don't see it. So I don't think panic is going to happen there. And I think they'll continue to try to develop those rookies as much as they can in the point guard spot. Alex Boyer at BabyBoyer7135 wants to know, are there any players out there that can stop the pick and roll? Sure. They just don't play for the Grizzlies right now. He also wants to know, who are some guys you think the Grizzlies might trade away? And then he wants to know about value and stuff. Value is hard to say. We've talked about it earlier. did the podcast with Matt Herdlicka. We'll probably revisit that in the next couple weeks as we start to approach the trade deadline. But I would say, you know, the guys that would make sense, you know, one of the bigs, you know, whether it's Jarrell or, you know, Jermichael makes sense because, you know, from a restricted free agent standpoint, they're going to have to pay him. Maybe they don't want to, so you would trade him to try to get something for him. That's a possibility. But you saw tonight, without him, his value started to be a little clearer. So maybe that's more proof that they need to pay him, and whatever it is that he's going to make. And he's going to make a pretty penny, that they need to go ahead and keep him and pay him what he's going to have to be paid. That maybe tonight swayed that a little bit, just to give you a little sample of what it looks like without him. You know, they would target, I mean, if they, again, it would make a lot of sense to go after a better point guard option, but I don't know that they feel that that's a necessity at this point. They certainly could use yet again another shooter. They are always one short. Most teams are. They've got an extra big, but most teams do. So making those trades would be a little bit tricky. And just not offhand, at least, there's not a ton of trades that jump out to me, but I'm not the trade guy. I've said it before, I'm not the maestro of the trade machine. Others are, and they can probably do something that would be better. Josh at BioMedTGR says, is the pick and roll stuff, the problems the Grizzlies have in the pick and roll, is it strictly personnel or is it scheme also? That's a good question. And it's, you know, to me right now, a lot of it is personnel, because I think that you're seeing some of it go back to that effort and go back to Mike Conley, you know, whether it's because of health or because of age or whatever. You know, he's having a lot more trouble staying in front of his man on pick and roll stuff. He's having trouble physically getting over those screens and fighting through them the way that he used to, and having the quickness to recover in those situations. So, you know, if he goes under, that's not something that David Fizdale really wants to do. That's a scheme thing. You know, some of it is scheme in terms of how aggressive they are, you know, with that pick and roll. You know, against the Clippers, it was sort of the opposite, because it was almost too passive and they backed off so much. But earlier they've really pushed and tried to get blitzing from time to time. Switching also has caused the Grizzlies, that's a scheme thing, and that has sometimes caused the Grizzlies some problems. You know, once you switch, you can end up in some matchups that you didn't expect and can kind of get yourself in trouble if you're not really adept at it, and the Grizzlies are not quite there yet. So I would say it's right now a combination of both. There definitely are some new scheme things that they've been working through, but a lot of it right now, a lot of it is just personnel. Got to play better, got to play harder, all that stuff. Parker Van Blaricom at P Van Blaricom wants to know, what's your realistic best case scenario for the team this year? I mean, best case scenario is still approaching, let's see, so that, I mean, there's, what, 22 and 16 now, so that's 38 games. I'm doing this off the top of my head. 44 games left. I mean, best case scenario is probably, I mean, I don't know, 30 and 14 seems a little crazy. That would be a 52-win season. So I would say probably like 26 and 18, maybe. So that puts you right around 48 wins. That's probably best case scenario. More realistically, closer to 45. That's probably a realistic best case scenario, 46, 47. And that would put them, I mean, realistically, the best case scenario, you could see them sneak out home court advantage in the first round in that 4-5 matchup. You know, depending on how the wins go and how many wins that spot, you know, requires, but that's I think that's a realistic best case scenario. You know, more likely it is that they'll end up 6-7 and have to go on the road and play, you know, someone like the Spurs, the Rockets, or, you know, well, maybe even the Clippers, I guess, but the Clippers have some work that they've got to do. So those are the scenarios that I would see right about now. OG Retro underscore, who is 55, by the way, on not the age, that's the username, 55. Might be 55 years old, I don't know. Wants an honest opinion on the rest of the season. Yeah, I think based on what we've seen so far, I do think that the Grizzlies still are going to have to, they're going to struggle with injuries throughout. And that's why I'm sticking with my 41 win projection. I think that they still, you know, the back end of the season is always when Mike Conley slows down. He has the last couple of years with a buildup of injuries. You know, Marc Gasol, if the effort level we are starting to see now is indicative of what he can give you, then that means he's starting to slow down as well on defense. On offense, he's still there. But that's going to be a problem for the Grizzlies. So, yeah, I think that's the realistic kind of honest opinion of the rest of the year. Some of these topics I can't get, like Marc Gasol's rebounding as a whole, that's a whole pod by itself. Maybe I'll do that pod coming up in a few weeks. But those are the stuff like that with Mark, you know, that deserves a little more than I can give it right now. Parker also wanted to know if I think Brandon Wright can realistically add anything when he returns. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's definitely, he's got the ability to block a few more shots than, and he does some of the pick and roll stuff. I mean, that's his bread and butter. He can dive to the basket really effectively. The Grizzlies don't have anyone who is gifted as he is at that right now. That would be helpful. He can do a little defensive work too. That would be helpful. He's got more dynamism than most of those guys. I don't know that he's a, you know, world beater, game changer, all that stuff, but he has something to offer for sure. There's definitely something there. Kevin wants to know, Kevin Ketchum, at Kevin Ketchum, do you have any idea what special team-building excursion Fizdale took the team on because it didn't work? I have absolutely no idea. Maybe Chandler Parsons took him on an excursion. That seems like that would work really well, as a matter of fact. TJ says, I should just remind folks how terrible the Chandler Parsons signing was. Well, we kind of talked about that. So far, it has not been great. There's still time, right? I would just say, with regard to Chandler Parsons, too, you know, I think you can just about write off year one. You know, maybe he'll surprise. You know, that's still, of course, clearly possible. But when you've gotten to this point in year one, you had 6 to 8 months of rehab. You get into the season, you can't start the season. Then you start the season and you're just kind of doing your thing for a little while. Certainly, you know, a long way from your prime, a long way from your best. But you're out there, you're trying to learn new stuff, learn new people. It takes time. I think everybody understands that. But for him to, at this point now, yeah, then he has the bone bruise in the middle of, you know, probably his best game, that Dallas game. He gets that bone bruise in the other knee. He misses some time and comes back, and he is right back where he started or worse. And so if it's 6 to 8 months of continuous rehab, you jump into the season, but you're really not ready. Then you get the bone bruise. Then you struggle to get back, and you're still on a 15-minute restriction, even though it's been a long time. You know, when are you going to be healthy? Is an off-season really going to be enough if you had 6 to 8 months? So you have to start thinking about, yeah, year one is probably going to be a bust on this thing, but if 8 months isn't enough, is another 8 months going to work? I don't know. I think those are the questions you have to ask, and it's definitely there are some ominous signs. The whole stuff with the going out and partying doesn't really help the perception. I don't think it really, to me, it doesn't matter. That's just my personal opinion. So many guys in the NBA go out that you never know about, you never see, you never hear about. Athletes have always done that stuff. And some stuff you're fine with, some stuff you're not. It's just the juxtaposition of doing it so prominently while you are bad on the court and then resting the next day. It doesn't look good. To use the political term, the optics, not so good on that for Chandler Parsons. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. He's doing what so many other players, and honestly, many, many, many of the coaches like to do. That's fine. That happens. On the basketball court, I remain skeptical about his ability to give you much of anything this year. Thank you guys so much for the comments and questions. We'll continue to do it, but I really do appreciate it. Whenever I reach out, you guys always step up. I love it. I appreciate it. You guys are the best. It's awesome to have listeners like you guys. Thank you. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter, @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.